It is Wednesday, August 11th for Patreon subscribers. Thursday, August 12th for the rest of yous. Welcome to Menace of Sports, episode 155. By the way, 2.5 million downloads and listens over 155 episodes. So first of all, I appreciate you. And I also appreciate you hanging with me as I really navigate life and try to get this content scheduled down. We're getting this episode out this week. And then next week is the plan is two episodes a week moving forward. Had to get summer done. Had my kids week on, week off. And so I've had them a ton. I mean, I've had them over, double what I used to have them starting 2021. But just not that that's relevant. Just been an awesome summer, spending quality time with them, giving them the time that they deserve to kind of bounce back from the life that we were given. But anyways, really excited about this episode. Going to talk about Ohio State's offense in depth. Going to talk about some coaching staff things that I know are going on, some changes that have been made, some reasons to be optimistic about the Buckeye defense and things moving forward. And on top of that, we're going to do a little bit of a schedule breakdown, more so Big Ten over-unders. Whether you're a gambler or not, it's great conversation, right? For instance, the Michigan football team, Jim Harbaugh's team, the over-under on season wins is 7.5. What fucking world do we live in where the Michigan Wolverines have a coach that's on his, fifth year? What is it? I don't know, whatever it was, whatever it is. And his over-under total on season wins is 7.5. And no one seems to be saying he should have been fired already, except for me, maybe. Everyone else is saying this is a curtain call. This is a call-to-action year for Jim Harbaugh. It's like, wait a minute, what? That call-to-action year was like 2 years ago. At worst, last year. His ass should have been grass, fired. But now, their over-under total is 7.5 wins. So if they go over what Las Vegas, who knows more about sports than almost anybody, if they go over 7.5 wins, then they go 8-4. That's a success in Vegas' eyes. That's better than they should have done. What? I got to know. I know Michigan fans listen. What do you guys do? I feel bad for you guys. I mean, people know my opinion. I want Michigan to be 11-1 every year, only lose to Ohio State. Just because I'm a Buckeye at heart, right? But I want them to be competitive. I want them to be in the conversation. I want them to heighten the brand that is Midwest football, Big Ten football. But 7.5 wins. Indiana's 8 or something like that. I mean, we'll get to it. We're bringing JG, the sportsbook joker, by far the best sports handicapper in the world. He has his sweet spots that are ridiculous, and college football is one of them. He went over 300 units, like went 68% or something last season on college football gambling picks. And he's ridiculous at soccer. Golf is outstanding. So anyways, JG, the sportsbook joker, is coming on at the end of the second half of the show to talk about some over-under win totals in the Big Ten, kind of our thoughts. I give him my thoughts, and he gives me his gambling opinions. And just kind of to get to that. But also, I wanted to mention two things. One, tailgates are a go. Until I have more sponsor details, probably, hopefully next week, we will start selling tickets to our tailgates right next to, Varsity Club, right at the point on lane. Braxton Miller, probably Troy Smith. He said he's in. I got to make sure that that's done. But Braxton Miller, Troy Smith, Menace to Sports for the Oregon and Penn State game, minimally. The two biggest games of Ohio State season, both at home. One of them's a noon game. The other one should be a night game. We're going to be getting it, and it's going to be insane. We're going to have former players there. We're going to have all kinds of entertainment, a couple pregame shows, halftime shows, maybe even a postgame show. We'll see what it is. I'll get you the details, but mark it down on your calendar. Before the Oregon and Penn State game, you're coming with us. Menace to Sports, Braxton Miller, and Troy Smith, and we're getting it in. Secondly, we are opening up and we're trying to hire two interns, not only for those events with Troy Smith and Braxton Miller and myself, but also the whole Menace to Sports, Menace to Picks platform. We're trying to expand. We're a company of about six people right now. We're trying to get to about 8 with interns, and hopefully that'll help stimulate the growth to go to 20 people. My goal is 20 people by January 1st to work for Menace to Sports, and then we can really, scale. Scale's the cool word to use if you're an entrepreneur. So anyways, reach out if you're interested. Zach@menace2sports.com, the number 2. Or if you know someone who's interested, pass that info along. They can reach out to me. We can talk and see where they fit. But really excited about this episode. Make sure you check out patreon.com/menace2picks for the gambling picks from JG, the sportsbook joker, or Menace to Sports on Patreon, patreon.com/menace2sports. But enough about that. Let's get to the show.
What a hit! Denzel Ward, you got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
you'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here then. Okay, see ya.
All right, let's talk about it. Quinn Ewers is skipping his senior year to come in. I know this is a little bit old news. We talked about it on YouTube. If you haven't followed our YouTube channel, check it out. YouTube.com/Menace to Sports. Make sure you check that out because we're putting out content much more frequently now that season is around the corner. But anyways, Quinn Ewers is in Columbus. Not yet. He'll be there, what, end of this week? I think they said this weekend. Skipping his senior year to enroll and challenge for the starting quarterback job for Ryan Day. I don't know that he's really going to do that. I don't even know that that's his thought process. I think he really just saw that he could make almost $1 million. Yahoo Sports said he could make almost $1 million this year due to the new NIL rules, and he already had offers from companies. If you haven't seen it, he already put out one ad for kombucha, whatever the hell kombucha is, some kind of drink that's good for you. It's like one of those Modere collagens or something. It's like supposed to be amazing for you. So kombucha is in Quinn Ewers, the blonde mullet and kombucha. It just, I think that's how you say it. It's probably not how you say it. You guys will be making fun of me. I don't know what the hell kombucha is. But I will say props to Nick Saban, because back in April, he called this shit, saying the trend of skipping their senior year in college for the NFL would soon trickle down to high school. That day has arrived, oh wise one. Good call, Saint Nick. These kids, and now it's going to be on the states, right? Like Texas, you can't play high school football if you're a professional, if you're making money, right, for ads and things like that. So Quinn Ewers said, all right, fuck it, I want to go make $1 million. Whether I play or not my first year, I don't care. I want to make $1 million. Do you blame him? I mean, I don't like how this is becoming so business-oriented, because I think that was one of the cool things about college football is it truly was an amateur's game. I mean, I'm not here to say that those athletes weren't getting exploited. I mean, unbelievably, they were. And I'm not saying that's right, but college football was at least pure. It's no longer pure. This shit is unbelievable. And now, Quinn, now we got kids skipping senior years to make money, I guess. It's just crazy. First, we had kids opting out of their senior years, albeit due to COVID cancellations and season postponements. And now this. I will say this. The one thing about Ohio State's quarterback unit is not a single quarterback on the roster who has attempted a pass in a collegiate game. That is terrifying. Can Ryan Day develop one of these kids to play at a nationally elite level? That's the question. Now, I know this. If anybody can, he can. And he will. He will. But that is Buckeye Nation's expectation, is nationally elite, right? Think about since Ryan Day came in. He tried to fix JT Barrett. Did a commendable job. Don't think it was possible. He had been ruined, quote unquote, by the Ed Warner era. And that was just, I mean, he was too far gone. Ryan tried, and in practice, I'm telling you, I'm here to vouch. He fixed JT Barrett's timing and deep ball issues in practice. But in games, it came back out. His scars were shown. And then after that, Dwayne Haskins, elite level, Heisman candidate, right? Justin Fields, elite level. I mean, Heisman level play. So now here we are. Ryan Day has to do it a third time. I mean, odds are it's going to be C.J. Stroud. I think everyone knows my opinion. C.J. Stroud, Kyle McCord. I think Jack Miller ends up at Arizona State. Give it till August 18th. That's my dad's birthday. We'll give him till my dad's birthday to get out of Dodge. And I'm not even trying to shit on the kid. He's going to be he's a really talented player. Those other two are just, I mean, absolutely elite talent. Now, the other issue is this. This kid Ewers, the redneck mullet from Texas, he is generational. He is Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's the highest rated recruit, if you want to go by that stuff. The highest rated recruit in the history of recruiting rankings, right? He is a stud, and I've watched everything there is on him. Wow, you talk about a live arm. You talk about, you know, different different arm angles when he throws, like different off-balance throws, like everything he does. Flick of the wrist, that ball's going 50 yards. It's insane. It's like Cardale Jones, but way better. Is reality what it is. And here's what I want. I'm always the bearer of bad news, or I guess the reality check for Buckeye fans, right? First of all, very few true freshmen have started, and an even smaller number were successful. Look at Bo Nix at Auburn, right? Now, I will say this. Ryan Day, first-year quarterbacks. Let's not forget now what Ryan Day has done with first-year quarterbacks. They weren't true freshmen. Justin Fields, first year, 41 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, over 3,200 yards. I mean, that's like almost perfect. Dwayne Haskins, first year, 50 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, over 4,800 yards. Like, if there's a great quarterback in that room, Ryan Day's going to show him to you pretty damn early. Like, year one, starting game one, right? And we'll talk about the schedule in a minute, but very few true freshmen have start, period, no matter how good they are, right? An even smaller number were successful, but the generational quarterbacks in the last few decades make up the list of guys who didn't, right? And I'm going to give you the list. Dan Marino at Miami, 1979. Eric Zaire at Georgia. Tommy Frazier, Nebraska. Peyton Manning, Tennessee. Phillip Rivers, NC State in 2000. Chad Henne at Michigan in 2004. Colt McCoy, Texas in 2006. Sam Bradford, Oklahoma, 2007. Terrell Pryor, 2008 at The Ohio State University. RG3, Baylor. Matt Barkley, USC. Landry Jones, Oklahoma. Johnny Football Manziel at Texas A&M in 2012. Jameis Winston, 2013, right? Braxton Miller, 2011. Jalen Hurts at Alabama, 2016. Jake Fromm, State Farm at Georgia, 2017. And Trevor Lawrence at Clemson in 2018. You're talking about guys that had illustrious college careers, and many of those are or will be NFL superstars, right? I guess not many of them. Peyton Manning was certainly one. Trevor Lawrence, we hope, is for our boy Herb, right? So the question is Quinn Ewers in the likes of Trevor Lawrence, Jameis Winston, Sam Bradford, and Peyton Manning? 6'3", 210 pounds with the blonde flowing mullet. Is he the next gunslinging great in Columbus, Ohio for Ryan Day? That's the question. Because you look at that room. C.J. Stroud played 8 snaps in 2020. 8 runs. Athletic. Very similar to Justin Fields. Has a good arm. Can throw it. And can run. Right? He is probably the most complete package in the room to be a dynamic player in college. Jack Miller. 10 snaps in 2020, 10 runs, pocket passer. He's the fourth. Now that Quinn Ewers is coming in, he's the fourth most talented thrower of the four. And he's not a great athlete. That's just is what it is, right? He's not a bad athlete, but he's not a great athlete. Kyle McCord, 5-star from Philly, 3-time state champ. This kid is not going to roll over and die and allow C.J. Stroud or Quinn Ewers to come in and take this job. This kid is a winner. He has the arm. I mean, what are we talking about? 5-star quarterback, right? If you watch, I've studied all of his high school film. I saw a little bit of Ohio State film. Don't tell him. The kid has a live arm. I mean, he has a great arm. He has touch. He can throw. He's not near the athlete Stroud is. He's not a bad athlete, not a great athlete. So where does Quinn Ewers fit in? I know this much. You cannot rep 4 quarterbacks. You just can't. It's not physically possible in training camp. So immediately they have to cut one, basically, and that kid will be in the portal. My prediction is Jack Miller. You can't rep 4. If you do, you're not giving any of them a chance, and you're certainly not getting anyone ready to play. This is not spring ball. In spring ball, you can rep 3 guys, 4 guys. You can't do that in training camp. You actually have a season to go play. You have to win games. So who are the two? In my opinion, you can only rep 2. They might stretch it to 3, but who are the two? Quinn Ewers has to be 100% one of them, right? Has to be. Generational talent. If he's not one of them, he could leave. And you're talking about generational talent. You can't let that happen. He has to be one of the two. He has to get reps. He has to think he's in the battle, or at least the backup, right? So now, if he's one of them, you have 3 guys battling to be that other quarterback getting reps. C.J. Stroud, Kyle McCord, Jack Miller. Who is it? C.J. Stroud and Kyle McCord is the battle, in my opinion. Now, I know this. I will tell you this. There's a trio of quarterback coaches in Ohio State. This is how their staff is working. Obviously, Ryan Day is a quarterback guru. Corey Dennis and Todd Fitch, if you don't know Todd Fitch. Todd Fitch is the right hand. Experience, maturity, right? Todd Fitch is 30 years quarterback coaching experience. He took over for Ryan Day at Boston College when Ryan jumped to the Eagles in the NFL. Todd Fitch is a name that Buckeye fans should know. He will play a huge part in this quarterback development. Then Ryan Day, the guru, the quarterback whisperer, development on another level. He sets the plan. He sets the tone. He'll get involved when the time allows. And then the very last but not least is the quarterback coach, Corey Dennis. He has energy. He's young. He relates well. He's a recruiter. He has connection. You cannot just be some quarterback guru and be really smart and think you're going to develop quarterbacks. That's what Tom Herman did great. Connection. Corey Dennis has connection. He can relate to these kids. He will have their heartbeat. That's a three-headed monster at quarterback. Now, not to fly through the other positions, but that's where it starts, begins, and ends for the Buckeyes if they want to have aspirations to do better than they did last year, right? I mean, national runner-up. There's only one option to do better than that, right? You got to win it all. Do they have the receivers? Good God. Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, just to name a few, right? Julian Fleming hopefully is healthy and we can see what he can do. But the three I just named are exceptional. They lost Jameson Williams. Huge loss, in my opinion. No one else seems to agree, but you will see. He's donning number one for Alabama. You'll see him on ESPN, I promise you. That is a big loss. Now, luckily, it's at the most talented and fruitful position, probably on the entire roster. So those four will be the top four. Emeka Egbuka, Marvin Harrison Jr., absolutely stud-looking freshman, but let's not forget, you don't make an impact as a freshman. I had people telling me I was an idiot last year. Julian Fleming's going to be an All-American as a freshman. Like, what? Jackson Smith and Jigba had about as good a freshman year as you could ever have. He was exceptional. He was impactful. He played. He didn't even make a blip on the national radar. What are we talking about? Now, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to do it because Marvin Harrison's a Hall of Famer. I don't know. Let's keep in mind, Chris Olave, high-impact freshman, right? We all can agree to that. 12 catches for 197 yards his freshman year. Ninth on the team. Still, you would say he was a high-impact freshman. Garrett Wilson, an even higher-impact freshman, we would agree. 30 catches for 432 yards. Fourth on the team. That is about as good as you're can expect. And I don't even care about how loaded the room is. You can't expect more out of a freshman. You just can't. It's unrealistic. And it's stupid. It's blinded by fanhood and recruiting rankings. These kids have to get ready to go play at a high, high level. They're kids. It's highly unlikely. Rarely ever happens. The tight end position is well documented. I think Jeremy Ruckert is a Mackey Award-winning candidate. He's a guy that should be like that. He should be Kyle Pitts in the Big Ten. That's what he should be. I love Cade Stover as a second option, and now G. Scott is probably going to be the most athletic, quote-unquote, tight end. I mean, in the Big Ten for sure, probably the country. So you get those three kids, I mean, you're thinking A++ at the tight end position. The running back position is going to be interesting. Mayan Williams looks to be the guy going into week one, but Travion Henderson, it is only a matter of time. Simple as that. Only a matter of time till Travion Henderson shows up and has that Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott illustrious presence on the national stage in the Midwest, in the Big Ten, and in Columbus in the Horseshoe. That's going to happen. Mark my words. I know for a fact everyone at the Woody echoes that sentiment. The key to this offense is, as it mostly always is this offensive line. But I will tell you this, straight from Ryan Day's mouth, they have four minimally, right now, four first to second round picks that will start on this offensive line. Now, I saw that they put Thayer Mumford at guard to put DeJuan Jones at tackle. I will tell you this, they think DeJuan Jones is a lottery pick. I mean, top five, top seven pick at tackle. They do. Now, I can't imagine moving Thayer Mumford, who's given up zero sacks and played at as high a level as any tackle in the country. I can't imagine moving him because DeJuan Jones is a little bit better. I just can't. You have your bookends locked up and secured. Why would you not play Paris Johnson and DeJuan Jones at guard? Why? It doesn't make any sense. Now, I will tell you this, stud sometimes doesn't make sense, but those four are starting. You can already book it, write it, sign, seal, deliver it. It's a matter of who the center is going to be. Harry Miller, will Matt Jones move in there? I mean, there's a number of options at center, but those four are consensus in Buckeye in the Woody. Those four are first to second round picks. So they're playing. Those are four of the five, guaranteed right there. It's a matter of how they play them, right? I think it's going to be so critical for this offensive line to be elite, and it's going to be that apex center position. You think about the greats that Urban had at that position, and they really drive the offensive line, right? From Corey Linsley to Jacoby Boren, who was not going to be an NFL player, but you talk about a great college player, great college player. Pat Elflein, Billy Price, who I have my own opinions about Billy Price, but he was a really good center, right? That's what Ohio State needs. Josh Myers was a great center. So will Harry Miller be able to snap and handle it all? He's smart as shit. We know that. He can play the hell out of a guitar. Personality times 1,000. IQ probably is like 180, if that's even possible. I mean, brilliant. But can he play center at a high level, like Remington level? Can they go win the Offensive Line of the Year award? Can that happen? They need it to happen. Because you look at this schedule, and we're going to talk about it here in a minute with the Joker. But at Minnesota, game one, Oregon at home. Woo, boy. Now, just self-plug real quick. That at Minnesota, bouncing back and playing Oregon, that's going to be one of the biggest challenges for whoever the quarterback is and this team, right? And that's, we're having a tailgate for Oregon. I don't know if you know that. It's the biggest, Oregon and Penn State, biggest games of the year. We're having huge tailgates. Going to be blown out. Going to be nuts. Going to be awesome. Legal gambling because it's through a charity. I mean, I'm talking about this is going to be wild and fun. But anyways, so that's a rough two-game start. Then they get a lull, right? Tulsa at home, Akron at home. They get to go to Shiano Country on October 2nd. Maryland at home, and then a bye. If they find a way to be 6-0 going to that bye week, watch out. Watch out. Because then they got to go at Indiana. They had a bye week before. Indiana's going to be really good this year. Really, really good. Probably, in my opinion, the third best team in the Big Ten behind Penn State and then Ohio State. So they get a bye before Indiana. That's huge. Ryan Day will not lose coming off a bye week. The trap game is next. You go bye week at Indiana, the third best team in the Big Ten, and then Penn State comes to town, the second best team in the Big Ten, in my opinion. Actually, Wisconsin probably up there. I'm just talking about the East. Let's just talk about the East. Or legends and leaders. No, that's not a thing anymore. Penn State at home, back-to-back with Indiana. This is a huge concern. I mean, red flag game. Penn State needs this game. James Franklin needs this game. And then if they get over that hump at Indiana, Penn State at home. I'm not saying they're talented enough to beat Ohio State, but we've seen crazier shit. At Nebraska, Scott Frost needs a signature win to save his job. 14 returning starters in Nebraska, 3 of 4 in the back end. Oliver Martin, who I kind of recruited, He went to Michigan, then Iowa, now Nebraska. Talented. Adrian Martinez and Scott Frost. I mean, they've had plenty of time together. And their special teams were awful in the past 2 years. So he fired his special teams coach after 2019, promoted off the field coach, fired his ass after last year. Now he has Mike Dawson leading the charge. Then they go Purdue, Michigan State at Team Up North. Will this be the year? I know they took a lot of pride in the rivalry, right? What have you done to beat Ohio today, right? Jim Harbaugh means it now. At some point, the rivalry will gain its luster back. If you don't remember the rivalry, a lot of you forget. People have short-sighted memories. The rivalry used to be, it didn't matter how talented either team was. Because everyone's going to say, even the Joker's going to say in a minute, well, they don't have the talent to beat Ohio State. That has never mattered in this game when it mattered to both teams. Talent never mattered, ever. Go look at John Cooper's era. The talented teams that got beat? Whew! Not, I mean, my God. Just absurd. Talent didn't never mattered. It was all about who wanted it more. It was a dogfight, street fight, whatever you want to call it, a war. It was all that. Will it finally get its luster back? Has Michigan gotten their ass kicked enough to the point where now they will actually come into that game with a bad taste in their mouth and fight? It's at home. They got Ohio State at home. And Ohio State, the good news is they're not getting complacent in the Woody. They certainly, I mean, they just know they're going to win, but they're not getting complacent. So wanted to run through that real quick. We'll talk more in depth about those opponents. We'll talk more in depth about the defensive coaches. I will tell you this, next episode, stay tuned, because the defensive staff had a major shakeup. We all know that. That was in the news. But I want to tell you how things are going in the defensive staff room, in the position meetings, and why this defense will look completely different. And Kerry Combs' new role on the defensive staff. So stay tuned for that next episode. Really look forward to it. But I want to get to this gambling content and the Big Ten content, over-unders with JG, the Sportsbook Joker, coming at you now here on Menace of Sports.
All right, welcome to another episode on YouTube and on the podcast of Menace of Sports. I am Zach Smith. Your host joining me is JG, the Sportsbook Joker, our lead handicapper for the Menace to Picks handicapping team, who, by the way, went absolutely crazy last college football season. Over 300 units won in the college football season. Would have been more if Ohio State would have beat Alabama and they were at full strength. But we lost quite a bit of units on that game and still slayed the season. So welcome to the show, JG.
Appreciate you, Coach. Appreciate you.
I'm excited to talk a little bit about over-unders, right? Vegas puts out over-unders on win totals for the season. And a lot of times they know stuff we don't know, but most of the time we know stuff they don't know. And that's where JG comes in. The Joker is here to slay the sports books. And I want to start off, we'll start this episode off with Michigan and end with Ohio State and kind of cover some teams in between. Michigan obviously had a down year last year and kind of had a disappointing tenure under Jim Harbaugh. Curious your thoughts. What is the line over under wins for the Michigan Wolverines this year? And what do you think? What do you think the money is? Where's the money in that schedule?
So Michigan last year was 1-5 against the spread. So pretty bad. They only played six games. They struggled last year. The line right now on Michigan is at 7.5 wins. And I think that there's going to be differing opinions on what the Wolverines are going to look like, because it's tough to take into account last year for a lot of these teams. There's so many outliers. Take a team like Penn State, we'll talk about in a second. We don't know exactly what they're going to look like just yet. We do know Michigan plays a pretty good schedule. I don't think Michigan's going to be good. I think that they have some guaranteed losses on their schedule, and I would lean under. I don't have a ton of conviction on this play in particular, but I think getting to 8-4 actually would be a really good season for Harbaugh, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you got to figure, right? You go to Wisconsin, you go to Penn State. Ohio State has had Michigan's number, you know, since Urban got hired. And then I'll be honest, I think the real trap game on that schedule is they play at Penn State November 13th. And that's not a trap game, obviously. But let's say they were to even – it doesn't matter the result. But if they were to win, then you have Maryland at Maryland before the rivalry game. I think that Maryland game at Maryland is a trap game and an upset alert. Win or lose against Penn State. If they lose to Penn State, they'll be deflated. They'll see Ohio State coming down the chamber, and then they kind of will be deflated against that Maryland team. And I like Loxley and Maryland to have a much better season this year. So I see that as a trap game at Penn State, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska is not going to be an easy win. And we'll get to Nebraska in a minute with Scott Frost kind of on the hot seat. But I'm with you. I think the under is the play. I'm with you. Not a lot of conviction, but just the fact that 7.5 is the line, boy, that is telling for the Jim Harbaugh era at Michigan, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not normal for when you say, a program like Michigan, who with their history and their tradition, you know, you look at Ohio State's line at 11, you know, they're just completely different programs at this point. And, last year, I think back to their game against Michigan State, because I'm looking at their schedule this year and I'm asking myself, are they going to actually beat Michigan State? Last year, they were a 28-point favorite. And me and you both looked at that and we're like, okay, they've never beat Michigan State by 28 points.
Never.
So that was easy money. And then they go and they lose the game at home. Absolute embarrassment to a horrible Michigan State team under Mel Tucker. And Rocky, what's his name, plays a great game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to jump from there to the other side of the conference. A team that I think has the best schedule in the Big Ten is Wisconsin. I mean, you look at their schedule. They get Penn State at home, Michigan at home, Iowa at home. They don't play Ohio State. Their road games are Rutgers, Purdue, Illinois, and then at Minnesota to end the season. Their biggest game outside of that early Penn State game on September 4th is they got to play Notre Dame at home. So talk to me about Wisconsin, the over-under there. And, I mean, what's really set up to be a pretty solid schedule for them. I mean, no real road tests other than, I guess you could say, Minnesota at the end of the season. They got to beat Penn State out of the gate. That's going to be tough. And then beat Notre Dame week three. And then come back with Michigan week four. So they're front loaded, but they're all at home. Four straight home games against those teams in Eastern Michigan. What do you think about the Badgers?
Yeah, the beginning of their schedule is awesome. You know, they play, like you said, they play three or four games in a row that are just, you know, headline games. And talk about Graham Mertz, who started off strong last year, and then they went through some COVID crap, and he never really got it back going. But he was a guy that was a big-time recruit, and it's going to be up to see what he looks like this year. But to me, they're not Alabama, so don't take this that way. But for me, betting against Wisconsin, you're asking for pain, because right, they've been so successful over the years, and they don't seem to lose games that they shouldn't lose. Now, for example, they did lose randomly to Illinois with Lovie Smith that one time. But other than that, I don't recall them dropping too many games when you expect them to win. They're a very good program. And for me, I would personally lean under.
Just what is the line?
Their schedule is tough. It's 9.5. Sorry, 9.5. And that seems like if they're 10-2, they're going to be really, really good at 10-2. Right. And I would lean under. But at the same time, I don't know if this is a trick line. So this is actually one that really scares me, and I'm completely staying away. Like, I'd be happy to throw a few units at Michigan going under, but I'm going to stay away from Wisconsin just because, like I said, you know, they don't ever seem to beat Ohio State, but they beat everybody else pretty comfortably. Yeah. And I want to also state with these numbers, it does not include the championship game or the bowl game. So everybody's playing 12 games this year and the over-unders are right there. It's just your regular season.
Gotcha. Gotcha. We got to figure, I mean, so Vegas is counting on Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Iowa, maybe Minnesota. Those five games, they're saying that Wisconsin loses two of the five. They go 3-2 and go 10-2, right? That's basically what Vegas is saying. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you can bet that they'll lose three of those five. I would imagine they'll come out 60% of those five games. Other than that, there shouldn't be a problem on the schedule unless Scott Frost has magic pixie dust and can go into Camp Randall and survive, jump around and win the game at the end.
Wisconsin's pretty consistent though. They consistently win 9, 10, 11 games. So
they're right on that.
I would not go against them.
No doubt. All right, we're switching over from that week one matchup against Penn State. Talk to me about Penn State. Obviously, they have to go to Wisconsin week one. They have Auburn coming into Happy Valley for a night game. I would imagine that will be a whiteout, which and Bo Nix can come get a little taste of Big Ten football. And then they got to go. They have Indiana at home, Iowa on the road. They have to go to Ohio State on October 30th, where our tailgate will be. Make sure everyone checks that out. They got Michigan at home. And then finish the season at Michigan State. Where's the Penn State line, and what do you see happening with the Nittany Lions?
Penn State's at a solid 9, over under 9 wins, and I love the over with Penn State. I think that last year's season was a fluke. Their recruiting is top of the line. Now, it's not Ohio State's, but they're definitely the second best team in the Big Ten for me, particularly with the Big Ten East. They're going to go over 9 wins this year. I actually have them beating Wisconsin in that first game of the year. That'll be a Patreon pick. We're going to take them on the money line right now. Now, things could change leading up to it. You never know what's going to happen with some of these things going on. But I think they can start out 5-0. They have a very manageable schedule if they can get through Wisconsin, because that third game is going to be against Auburn. A night game. Fans have not been in Happy Valley for a long time. Our Midwest insider already brought up that he thinks that's the best atmosphere. Of course, you've coached there several times, but I don't see Auburn going in there and beating them. So a chance for James Franklin to get Penn State right back in front of that national landscape. I'm not 100% sure that I could honestly see them going 11-1 and having the only loss at Ohio State, which is scary. Now, they do play at Iowa, but here's the thing. They could lose that Iowa game, and the game in Columbus is still going to be the de facto Big East championship game, right? Because they would own the tiebreaker, and they have spoiled Ohio State with that before. So when you're talking about who's going to beat them, to me, it's not Michigan. The most dangerous team on Ohio State's schedule is Penn State.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I agree. I think that being in the horseshoe, you could kind of count that as a loss, although obviously that's not guaranteed, and I'm not even here to predict that Penn State can't pull that off. But you're saying to go 10-2 to hit the over, right? They let's say they lose to Ohio State. Now you're saying they could only lose one of Indiana at home, Auburn at home, Wisconsin on the road, Iowa on the road. That's what it is, right? Those four games, they can lose one of those four, and you hit the over 10-2.
Yeah, if they and that it comes down to that Wisconsin game, it really does. If they win that game, then they're going to start out probably 5-6-0. The Iowa game is really tough. The Ohio State game is tough. I don't think anybody else could beat them this year. So I just think they're going to be really good. I really like they have a first round cornerback. I think they're going to bounce back strong.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be really solid, and I agree. All right, moving on to the other contender in the East, right? People would say the second best team possibly in the Big Ten. I want to talk a little bit about Indiana starting the season at Iowa, which is not an easy opener. I mean, you're looking at these Big Ten teams opening up. We'll get to Ohio State in a minute, opening at Minnesota, but at Iowa to start the season, then they got to go at Penn State. They do get Ohio State at home. At Michigan, and then Minnesota at home. Talk to me about Indiana. What's their line at, and what do you see happening for the Hoosiers?
So they're at 7.5, 8, and I'm going under with them this year. Mm-hmm. I thought everything worked out for them last year. They were 7-1 against the spread last year. So they had a really good team, a really good defense. one of the reasons that you got to be careful with Indiana is their quarterback has just, he's never really been healthy. And if something happens to him, it makes them a lot less dangerous. Now, that game that they play, I wanted to bring that up in the Penn State segment, was the game they have to go to Happy Valley. That's like the ultimate revenge game. Okay, so for me, I have them as no chance of winning that game. I just think that that would be a complete embarrassment for them to lose that game 2 years in a row, particularly after, for me, they technically won that game last year because he was short. They didn't have enough evidence. Penix was short. Obviously, they bring back a pretty good defense. Their defense was very good last year, but they also graduated a lot. And I think they have a tough schedule, so I'm going under on them. I still think they could be good. To me, 7-5 or 6-6, they're still a good Indiana team, but I'm not ready to crown them as a team that's going to compete with Ohio State or Penn State in the Big Ten East.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. So you figure they go 7-5. They need five losses on that schedule, right? You're saying Penn State, Ohio State are probably two locked losses, right? We know they could, anything could happen, but if you're just trying to bet with your mind and analytics, you'd say those are two losses. So they got to lose three more out of 10, right? Your candidates are, we didn't even talk about the fact that they have Cincinnati coming to town week three. That is a huge game because Cincinnati's loaded this year with Luke Fickell. So you have Iowa, Cincinnati, who else at Maryland, at Michigan, Rutgers, Minnesota comes to Indiana, and then Purdue at the end of the year. So you're saying they're going to lose three of those games, right?
Yeah, I do. I think that, their schedule's tough. And again, I'm just not ready to crown them because they had a good COVID season.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, COVID season's tough to handicap off of. Now let's talk about the Buckeyes. Obviously, I think you said, what is it, over under 11?
11. Even 11.
So you're saying they would have to lose two games to lose. They'd have to go undefeated to win. If they do drop one game, you'll push, right? So what? Talk to me about their schedule. Obviously, I have a full schedule breakdown coming soon on the show. But at Minnesota, Oregon coming to town, back-to-back opening weeks. Granted, there's 9 days in between to get ready for the Oregon game. So if they can pull off a win with a rookie quarterback and a revamped defense at Minnesota to open the year, they have 9 days to get ready for the Ducks coming to town. That's a tough two game starter. And then obviously their schedule at Indiana is going to be tough. Penn State game is going to be a huge game. Now it's going to be at Ohio State. And I've heard that it's probably going to be a night game at Nebraska, if Scott Frost can pull something out of his ass. And then at Michigan, I mean, at some point that game won't just be Ohio State slapping Michigan, right? At some point, the rivalry will reemerge, right? And it might be this year. It might not be. It might be after Harbaugh. Talk to me about that schedule and where you see the trap games and possible downfalls and where your money goes.
So this is my strongest play. I have them, and we've picked 17 what we call locks of the year. Mm-hmm. So far, those picks are hitting right around 70%. Okay, so
about as high as you can get in gambling, right?
Right. And so these are big plays. I have a lock of the year on them being over 11 because I think they're going to go undefeated, but I definitely do not think that they're going to go 10-2. I do not see them losing twice. They are too talented. When I look at particularly what stands out is the offensive line, and now their running backs looking strong with Mayan Williams, but particularly with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. That's going to be a tall task for teams to shut down that offense when you have what I think is the best coaching staff in the country. It has been for a long time now. But all C.J. Stroud's going to have to do is go in and be able to manage the game. And they just have so many ballers on the team that they're not going to be able to compete. It's very similar to our golden lock for me on Team USA winning the gold medal. They just have too many good players, and conversely, the other teams are not very good.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that their schedule is okay. It's not bad. You know, opening up at Minnesota at night, that's not going to be an easy game. I have them covering because I think that, you know, right now they're favored by 13, and I think they'll cover that. Then they come back. I think their toughest games of the year are, of course, Oregon at home. Oregon has two linebackers that I really like, and then the Penn State game. I'm not in agreement with you. I think that they're going to crush Michigan again. If you look back the last few years, there's been no evidence to think that Michigan is ready for that game at all. Maybe they're saying they're going to do things different. What have you done to beat Ohio State today? I don't know if that's going to be enough because of the talent gap. When you look at 24/7 and some guys that you recruited on there still on the team that are just absolute studs. And then these young guys, I mean, they're too deep. They're too deep. If that's really all Ryan Day had, just his second string, if that's what he had to work with, they still would be really good.
Well, and you got to look at the fact, I mean, you're talking about four first to second rounders in the offensive line for Ohio State. I don't care who's at quarterback and with at least above average talent at running back. Now, I think Travion Henderson will be the running back, you know, maybe not game one, but he will be the premier back, hopefully sooner than later. Hopefully it's not a Trey Sermon situation where we find out he should have been the back all year in the postseason. But once that, and I like Mayan Williams, I do. But I think that's a situation where they're so talented, like you said, that it's going to be hard to beat them. And they're not going to ask like they did Dwayne Haskins or even Justin Fields. They're not going to ask the quarterback to win the game. They don't have to. As long as the defense is sealed up and improved, I think they're a really tough team to beat, you know, in any game, let alone a Big Ten game. And the one game that I think is a lock of the year for me, as you put it, though I'm no gambler or handicapper, is the Indiana game. At Indiana, coming off a bye week, there's no way Ryan Day loses that game. I think, like you said, the trap, Minnesota and Indiana are locks to me because there's so much time to prepare, and Ryan Day and his staff are so good. The two games that are tough for me are Oregon coming off that Minnesota game, right, and then Penn State coming off the Indiana game. Those are two games that make me nervous. Do I think they're going to lose both? No. Do I think they'll lose either? Not really. But those are the two that scare me, right? Coincidentally, that's when our two tailgates are. Let me plug that one more time. The two biggest games of the year, we have a tailgate. So make sure.
So I want to give away a free prop real quick.
Go ahead. Give it to me.
First of all, I want to talk about the depth they have at D end. I mean, I think Tyreek Smith's going to be great this year. Yeah. They're five deep at defensive end, and with Jack Sawyer and JTT coming off the bench for those guys. I mean, Larry Johnson, and then they're deep up front in the interior, the defensive line as well. So when you mix those two things, and they have an athletic yet inexperienced back seven, their defense is going to be improved this year, I think. But the prop I wanted to give away, it reminds me of the Indiana game, the J.K. Dobbins coming out party, his freshman year, right? This is what it reminds me of. And for me, it's Mayan Williams in that first game. He's if you look at anything that's happened so far in practice, he's taking the first reps. Mm-hmm. And Master Teague's getting the second reps, and the third reps right now are going to Travion Henderson and I think Marcus Crowley splitting those. But for me, they're going to give the ball to Mayan Williams a lot, knowing that it's going to be tough to go up there and ask C.J. Stroud to throw it all over the place.
No doubt. Rookie quarterback. You have to run the ball.
And I think I haven't seen the line yet, but I guarantee Vegas does not have that much excitement about Mayan Williams. He's really good. And it's going to be tough. I think people are plugging in, like you said, Travion Henderson to come in and take his spot. But as long as he's healthy – or he's not fumbling, I think he's going to have a really good season, particularly at the beginning of the year, and they're going to rely on him for me in that Minnesota game. So if it's like anywhere between, you know, 60 to 80 yards, I think he goes way over that. Yeah. I think because that's easy to get for an Ohio State running back running behind that line. All he's got to do is pop one, and he's got 50 yards right there.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
And then they're going to give him the ball 15 more times. He's going to go over that.
And this is where Vegas nerds come in versus a football coach, right? I mean, you're looking at week one on the road in the Big Ten, rookie quarterback. You're not going to ask him to win the game, right? You're going to rely on your offensive line, and then you're not going to throw a true freshman running back, no matter how talented he is. He may be the starter from Oregon on. That first game, you're going to ride a guy that's played a little bit, like Mayan Williams, and you're going to sprinkle Travion Henderson and maybe get him some live experience so that week three, four, he maybe can be the guy. So I'm with you. I mean, I think that's a line that everyone needs to watch out for. If it's under, I think he goes for 100 yards. So if it's at 80, you got to pop the over rushing yards for Mayan Williams in that first game.
I think he's going to be the player of the game. I think he's going to have 120, 130 yards, two touchdowns in that game.
Obviously, but you know, barring knock on wood, any kind of injury, I agree. I think that's an absolute lock. So bettors, get your money ready. There's a lock right there on a prop, unless Vegas watches this, and then we apologize when they set the line at 115. all right. Well, just to finish this up, I mean, those are the teams I wanted to cover, those five teams, the real contenders. Anybody else in the Big Ten, any other lines in the Big Ten that you see that you say, you know what, that's a good bet?
I think Rutgers is going to be better, right? They're over under four wins. They have a manageable beginning of the year schedule. I think they'll be better. Now you're betting on Rutgers, and you know, last year they were doing some things just, I think, kind of surprising people and sneaking up on people a little bit, which they're not going to have that luxury this year. Yeah. But I think they can go 4-8, and what you're looking at is with that solid over under 4, you're at least going to get your money back.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a lock. I mean, that is a lock. I'm looking at their schedule. They start Temple, Syracuse, Delaware. Should start 3-0, right?
They could lose. I mean, they're Rutgers. They could lose those games. That's the scare.
The Syracuse game is one they could lose, but I don't see Shiano losing those. I think they start out 3-0, and then you just need to get one more, right? Michigan State at home. Illinois terrible on the road, albeit.
They're going to beat Illinois this year.
The team that – we don't need to go through their schedule, but the team that I hope you have as an under, I don't even know the line, is Northwestern. I mean, they were so senior-heavy last year, lost everybody, and Northwestern always bounces – from a successful big season, always falls to a shitty season. Always. It's just the way they do it, right? They rely on development and experience, and they don't have it anymore. So I think that could be a win for
Northwestern's at 6.5, and I think they're definitely going under. I think they're going to be bad. And, you know, we do our horse racing picks as well. And one thing that's popular in horse racing is sometimes you look at a horse and their history is they win a race and then they finish 8th. They win the next race after that, and then they come back and finish 5th. That's what Northwestern's done, right?
Absolutely.
And when you look at their schedule actually is pretty weak. So with Vegas looking at them as a team that was awesome last year, 7-1-1 against the spread, they go to the Big Ten championship game. Vegas comes back and doesn't respect them at all. They're daring you to look at their schedule and be like, look, this schedule is weak. They can win these games. Yeah. I don't see them winning them. I think they can lose early at home to some of these weak teams that they play. You know, our Midwest insider, who's their first three games again?
Rutgers?
Northwestern.
Let me look it up.
Let's pull that up real quick.
I have it right in front of me.
Okay.
They go Michigan State at home, Indiana State at home, and then at Duke, at OU. Those are the first four games.
Yeah. So Ohio, right? Bobcats? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like they could lose to the Bobcats.
Yeah, for sure. That
would not surprise me at all. They're not going to be favored by a lot in that game. You know, no. Ohio's a team that makes a bowl every year. To me, that's not – even the talent gap on those rosters isn't that crazy. They have an awesome head coach, but he also knows that he doesn't have to win this year. I mean, he was fine last year.
There's no doubt. I mean, you look at it, and they legitimately will probably be 2-2 at best coming out of their first four games, right? Michigan State probably will be a loss. I mean, what Michigan State, granted, it's a revolving door in East Lansing. I mean, they've had more roster turnover than anyone in the country, but I think Mel Tucker's building something there and getting new blood in. And like you said, I think Northwestern's going to be bad. I think that's a loss. Indiana State will assume is a win. I don't know anything about Indiana State, not even trying to claim to, but that should be a loss, right? I mean, a win for Northwestern. Then Duke, they're not beating Cutcliffe. No way. Not with the turnover they've had. And then let's say they beat the Bobcats. I mean, that's 2-2 to start the year at best. Possibly 1-3 if OU can pull off the upset. So I'm with you.
I'm telling you, that line is not going to be big. I don't know what OU is going to look like this year, but that line's not going to be anything crazy.
No, it's not. It's not. Well, as always, my man, I appreciate you coming on. If you guys want to check out at Menace to Picks on Twitter, you'll be following along all football season. Like I said, we absolutely destroyed college football last year. The Joker puts out free picks all the time. Even if you're cheap and don't want to check out the paid capping, make sure you give the Twitter account a follow so you can get those free picks. And it's just nothing more than fun, right? You throw a little money on a game on a free pick every now and then, it gets you invested. You had me up till freaking 2 a.m. watching baseball last night. So follow at Menace to Picks on Twitter, on Instagram, and also check out patreon.com/Menace2Picks for all the capping. I appreciate you, GG. Thanks for coming on.
Well, can I plug us in real quick, 30 seconds. We got time for it.
Plug it in.
College football had us last year at 109-57. Well, between Patreon and Twitter, at 66% winners. Our Infinity Locks, 251-116 all time, 68% winners. Locks of the month, 68-30, 70% winners. Let's see what else. Locks of the year, I mentioned that, 12-5, 71% winners. Our show, our podcast, all that stuff that we have, like I mentioned on there, we can't afford to be like ESPN and Fox when we're just saying random shit and it doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. We have to be correct.
Well, I think
it's our job to be correct.
The biggest difference is they put out picks and gambling. I watch it, FanDuel, all these people. They're just putting out entertainment, right?
They're putting out content. Ours is not content.
No doubt.
Ours is here to make people money, and hopefully you save a little money aside that you know that you can bet and have some fun with in a healthy way. And then you go out and you make some money on a Saturday, and then you do something nice and you save up and, you know, buy your kid a new bike or, you know, something like that, you know, something cool.
We saw it last football season. We had people going on vacations, tweeting at us, thanks to at Menace to Picks. They funded this whole vacation. So, you know, that's obviously the extreme. They must have been betting a decent amount of money, but we killed it last football season. So we look forward to doing the same this year. So check out JG. Check out JG on Twitter. And check out Menace to Picks, and obviously you can follow this show. We'll plug it and talk about it all year. Look forward to having you back
once a week. Podcast once a week. Menace to Picks. Hit us up.
Check out the podcast too. So all of that will be plugged week in, week out. So stay tuned and appreciate you, JG.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll see you.
What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here then. Okay, see ya.